Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's
Each week, they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff, too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Rusty, don't touch anything. Russ, don't touch anything, okay? Stop it. All right?
I'll touch this.
Yeah. There we go. Hi again, everybody. Another installment of The Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, and Russ Cortinel. I don't know how many shows we've done now, Russ, but we're piling through. And this is the first round of the playoffs is in the books. You are going to be very impressed, Russ, with how you did. I kept track.
6-8.
Oh, you kept track? Yeah, you kept track. Yeah, well done. So we're going to talk about that. There's another really interesting story I want to get your opinion on because you're an athlete. And this thing is kind of busting loose. Phil Mickelson has stepped away from the PGA Tour for a number of different reasons. You probably followed a bit of it, but it's totally interesting what's happening there. He won the PGA last year, not defending. He didn't show up at the Masters. For a couple reasons, so we'll talk about that. But more importantly, Russ, I need your advice. I really do, and I should have asked it. I should have asked for it, Russ, before I launched into this last relationship that I absolutely torched. Okay.
Yeah. I think you should become an Uber driver.
This is the next. This isn't the cop. Okay. This is one that's. This is a new one, Russ.
Oh my God! Yeah, I should open up champagne, not the White Claw.
Yeah. So.
Tell us. Come on, tell us every detail.
So here's what happens, Russ. I meet the girl on Facebook. This is a few weeks. It's great. Da 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 da. Back and forth. And so we meet. We go for a date. She says this is the best date I've been on. I go great. So we're back and forth. And then she works very hard. Keeps long hours. And so she was telling
me. Is she a
trucker? Telling me. No.
Okay.
No. So okay. She was telling me.
I'm so excited to hear all this.
Because when I'm in, Russ, I'm deep, okay? Maybe too deep.
Yeah.
Okay? So stop laughing. Okay? Stop laughing. So she's very clear. Very clear. And I got to give her credit. She said, look at. I keep long hours. I go to bed very early. I get up very early. So this isn't, I don't do this like the way you do. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, because you're opposite, right?
I'm all in. I'm all in, right?
But you go to bed late, don't you?
I do go to bed late, but now I hit 60 and I'm up early now, no matter what time I go to bed, I think. Anyway, she's like, I need my time. Yeah. I need my private time. And so I can't see you every night. I can't see you. I don't know how often I can, but I'm just telling you, you got to respect that. So here's what I did when she told me that. I tripled up on the text messages. I started showing up at her work. I started buying her gifts. And then it was just, I don't know what's wrong with me, Russ. I don't know what's wrong with me.
You're joking. You're joking.
No, I'm not. I'm not joking. And then it got, well, then of course she was like, well, you know,
you're a stalker.
Well, I virtually was. I virtually was in the end. And then she, you know, then
in
of course.
The end. So it ended.
Well, it ended because I blew it. I fucking blew it. It was, you know, and so then the text, of course, then they got less and less, right?
Yeah.
Her text.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay. I get it.
Yeah.
I need to drive over there and see her because she's not texting me.
Oh my
God. At her workplace. So then I did that and she said, you're needy.
Yeah.
Okay. You're too needy. And so what I thought when I heard her say that was, well, then I better really show her
how needy you are.
How needy I am. I don't know. And anyway.
How far does she live from your house?
She lives pretty far away. She lives in town,
good.
But.
Oh, good. So but too far the to deal, walk. Russ.
So, anyway, I blew it. So she said, and she was right. You know, she said, this ain't working. Okay. Right. This ain't working. Okay. And, so good luck and best wishes. Yeah. Okay. So then I went and bought her some gifts. Okay.
Oh,
so then it was okay. Now you're annoying. Okay. Yeah. Now that's enough. And I think, Russ, I don't know what she means by this, but I need your advice because maybe it means she'd like me to reconnect with her. Because I emailed her, apologizing, right? And she emailed me back and said,
fuck off.
I never want to speak to you or see you again. What does that mean, Russ? I'm telling you, that must mean.
Okay. She's anyway, thinking of moving out of the province. That's what it means.
I'm brutal. Russ,
her next
I'm
call brutal. Is to the police. This guy I'm, won't leave me. This guy.
I'm brutal. I'm brutal. I don't know what God. Happens.
Well, yeah. It's pent up demand. You've gone squirrely on us, but man, I can't believe you did that. You just listen. I know. I thought you were going to say when she told me not to contact her. Leave me alone for a bit. You just like went. You know, you went dark and then she was like, oh, the guy doesn't like me. But you went the other way. You went crazy. There's movies on this stuff.
Anyway, from this day forward, Russ, I'm not making a move unless I check in with you.
Yes.
All right. Even if it's like in the middle of the date. If I ever get another one.
Hang on. I'm going to get up and go to the washroom in the middle of your date and call me.
Russ, what should I do? Yeah.
What does this mean?
Anyway, I owe this girl an apology.
Oh, my God. That you've been waiting for this for so long.
I know, and I ruined it. God. I wrecked it.
Is she a Flames fan, too?
Habs fan.
Oh, because if she was a Flames fan, you'd get over her pretty quick because you're all in with the Oilers.
I gave her one of your jerseys.
Oh, my God.
The ones you signed, yeah.
One of you listeners just got cheated out of a jersey because... Loverboy gave it away instead of giving it to somebody who listens to our show.
Well, I told you to sign it. I wanted to give it away. I just didn't tell you who.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know what's wrong. Anyway, way to go, Jimmy.
How'd you get that jersey? I dated an idiot to get this jersey. It's the only gift I kept because I love the Habs. Oh, my God. I dated a stalker, but he gave me a Habs jersey.
It was terrible.
Oh, my God. Well, it's fun. It's fun being in love, and when you're in love,
yeah, I'm a handful. So.
But a stalker is a little crazy.
I'm sorry, I owe you an apology. Now, by the way, Rusty.
Oh, our fans, our listeners, because they got cheated out of a jersey.
No, they did. She's a big fan. She's a Habs fan. Perfect.
She doesn't listen to our fucking show. She doesn't deserve the jersey.
I'm gonna have to send her this show now. Now that I think about it, say, just so you don't think I was crazy, but I was.
Because there's a huge fan out there, Montreal Canadian fan, Pierre-Luc Lavoie.
Yep.
He DM'd me, and I responded to him. And he was saying how I was his favorite player, listens to the show, and he was so excited today because I actually responded to him. Mm-hmm. So Pierre-Luc, he got screwed out of that jersey.
No, he didn't. There's more. You signed 3-3. Yeah.
All right.
Signed 3-3.
Well, one. We got somebody's getting screwed. And you didn't get screwed.
And can we go now? Is that
yeah.
Can we
do
by the way, okay, let's talk about it. Rusty, the playoffs. Okay.
Yes.
I will
wow.
you can you, I'll go My through God. The teams that you picked. Tell me how you did. You picked Oilers.
Winner.
Carolina.
Winner.
Rangers.
Winner.
Florida.
Winner.
Colorado.
Winner.
Calgary.
Winner.
Leafs and Wild are the only two you lost.
Loser. Fuck,
six,
I can't believe.
6-4, though. How do your Leafs lose, Rusty?
I know.
What happened there?
They played so well, too, in that last game. Like, I think they got robbed in game six, and there was some non-calls that they should have had called, some bad penalties or some penalties I felt like that didn't get called, and they lost that one. But You know what? The Stanley Cup champions are they're great. A great team. Best coach probably in the NHL, John Cooper, and potentially the best goalie in the NHL. So
right,
pretty tough to knock them
off. But he didn't play his best, right? And they still won.
Yeah,
right?
I know. That's the he didn't.
Yeah, that's how good he is.
Yeah,
right.
And the other thing, I've said this before on different shows about good teams like them, and it's like, remember Joe Sakic and when they couldn't get over the hump in Quebec.
Right. Right.
They got Patrick Waugh, which really helped. But they were a great team going up there. They just couldn't get over the hump. And the Leafs kind of look like they're in that same boat. But, man, in Toronto, they're not. My brother sent me a little picture of Dubas.
Kyle Dubas, I think.
Yeah, yeah, a picture of him with a McDonald's hat on and a micro just signed a 4-year, $15 an hour McDonald's drive-through job. I mean, it's brutal when you're in any team, the fans want them to win, and they live and die by their team. But in Toronto, it's magnified by about 50 times. I mean, those guys who don't spend the summers there will be out of that city in freaking 2 seconds flat.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine any of those players going out for dinner like this, like anytime soon? I mean, people are going to be like, the fuck happened?
Right on the phone to NetJets. Okay. Yeah. See you later. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Gonzo Alonso.
Oh, too bad.
By the way, 6-2. I said 6-4. There was eight rounds and you're 6-2. Nice going.
That's Scotty Upshaw and Shane O'Brien were 8-8. They have a podcast.
Right.
It's called Missing Curfew. I actually did it with them. And they're great guys and good friends. And they listed their four guys.
Right.
Lupo was, I think he was the same as me, 6-2, or he was, I can't remember. But anyways, those two guys picked all those teams, 8-8.
Wow.
Uppy
Hope
and,
they bet on it.
Yeah, they are involved with DraftKings, so I think they're sponsored by they actually have a sponsor.
Yeah, well, we'll be getting one. I'll tell you, we'll be getting one of these because they're sponsoring everything. Okay, so let's do it while you're here then. So that's round one. Tampa, Florida.
Here's the thing, is with point out.
Yes,
for Tampa. If he doesn't play, they don't win. I'm going to go with Florida just because he's iffy.
Yeah, right. Even if he does play, he'll be hurt. Okay. St. Louis, Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah, they're a heavy favorite still. Flames and Oilers. What a series, huh?
I go with the Flames.
Fuck.
I know. And I lost my Stanley Cup chance to those effers. So for me to pick them, it's not a... It's just they got a better goal. They got the better goaltender. And I watched them play last night. I haven't really watched them play. And they outplayed. Dallas looked like a junior hockey team out there. I mean, they're missing guys and all that. But it was just domination from every line. And
Russ, they had 50 shots, Russ.
I know.
It was 2-1. In regulation.
I've become such a big Sutter fan. I want him to keep going. I don't necessarily want them to win the Stanley Cup, but I just want some more interviews with Sutter. I'm freaking loving this guy.
Well,
he's become my favorite Sutter.
If I'm Sportsnet televising those games, okay, the NFL is the best produced sports broadcast ever. Yeah. They've got 70 cameras. They isolate everyone. You got to have an isolation camera on Sutter 24/7, man, because he is so like when the place erupts, you would think he got scored against.
His facial expressions, like if he ever became a professional poker player, he would annihilate everybody.
He would. The toughest series, probably Rangers and Hurricanes.
Yes. And I think New York's going to win because I think the goalie got his nerves. Settled his nerves with that win because he was not good in the first. And he's a freaking stud. Like he, Leachy told me how good he watches all the games. So right. I think now that he got over the hump, won that series, I think he can win this series. And I think their better players are starting to wake up. I think they had a bit of a lull, and they, you know, and to come back again and win three games in a row
against Sid the Kid,
die. It says a lot about your team,
right? Okay, a couple things, Stevie. What's the? I'm sounding like Gretz is picking up what I do when I see his telecast.
Who's that? Gretz, old friend.
He does what I do. He doesn't know the names of the guys, so he goes the goalie, that winger. What's the goalie's name for Dallas? I want to talk about him for a bit.
That would be Jake Oettinger.
So Steve, this kid puts on arguably Rusty Oettinger, the kid for Dallas, stops 50 plus shots. I don't know, maybe close to 60 goals. And the place goes shots. Upside down, okay?
Yeah.
The whole hockey world goes upside down and says, this kid's going to be unbelievable. Watch out. He's crazy. He's got a future. He's going to be a... They're all, you know, they're saying, might be the first time someone loses a first round and they win the Conn Smythe, you know? I'm like, okay, calm down.
Calm down.
But my angle on that, Russ, is, okay, what happens when the kid goes out and loses 6-1 now?
Yeah. Well, he will eventually, because they all do.
Yeah.
You got to remember that all these players have played at high levels and they've been excellent their entire hockey lives and they've been through it. And obviously being in front of the 18,000 people every night or 20,000, however many you're playing in front of is new for most of them. But this is what they've wanted their entire lives. And so mm-hmm. I think unless he just mentally or physically doesn't continue where he's at right now, like say he gets fat and lazy or mentally he loses his, you know, mental toughness. But other than that, I mean, the kid should keep playing well. Patrick Waugh came out of the minors or juniors or whatever and won a Stanley Cup in 86 and then mm-hmm. went on to win and become one of the best goaltenders of all time. So, you know, we could have said the same thing about Patrick when he did that. And he got scored on. Remember the game he left, the last game yes. he played in Montreal? He got
sure.
blown out. And it'll happen. But these goalies have to be prepared for that.
Right. So all that being said, though, he's the real deal.
The kid well, he sure looks like it. I don't think it's a fluke. Maybe you could say it's a fluke for one period. But, man, this guy was on fire.
And my goalie in Edmonton is so great and so brutal. Smith?
Yeah, man, can he pass the puck to both teams? That's the problem when a goalie plays the puck. It's going to get picked off. Well, you know, I'm an alumni of Dallas, so I know, they didn't deserve to beat Calgary because they weren't the better team, but they mm-hmm. the goalie, and I was worried that this goalie was gonna win last night and right. then they were just gonna collapse because you want the best teams to keep winning.
Yes.
I mean, truly point. To have the best playoffs, you know, you could argue like Toronto and John Cooper said it best, the coach of Tampa. He said, two evenly matched teams, great series, and we won. And so, you know, obviously Toronto fans are going to say we're better. Tampa's going to say we're better. But really, if you step back and look at it, two great hockey teams. So a great hockey team gets to go forward. Dallas isn't ready. They're injured. They're just not ready. The big guys aren't playing as good as they were. Maybe they're getting a little older. And Calgary, you want that team to move on. And I was just hoping – I was really pulling for Calgary last night because they're the better team and we love Sutter.
and that Johnny Gaudreau man is on fire. Oh my god!
That goal he scored. I mean, that puck from that angle with, and I think it might have been rolling a little bit. I mean,
right?
That is unbelievable. That's like Steph Curry. I'm not a basketball fan, but I watched a couple of videos on Steph Curry shooting, warming up for his game. throwing free throws and moving back, three-pointers and moving all the way back to center and then all the way front. And he never missed a shot. Right. And it's kind of that kind of talent Goudreau has. Like, I don't get to watch him a lot, but, you know, when your nickname's Johnny Hockey, you tend to, like, watch the kid once in a while. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. McDavid, arguably the best player in the world. That's what everybody is saying. And then you got this Johnny Hockey, and he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So you know he's going to have his freaking game face on. He's never going to let the foot off the gas pedal once. So it's going to be interesting.
Those two game sevens, Russ, were totally similar. The Oilers are playing the Kings, and the Oilers have been okay up to that point.
Bingo.
Right? They weren't exceptional. Yeah. They weren't really bad. They weren't really great. But like Calgary in that game seven, okay, they absolutely annihilated the Kings.
I played for LA also, and exact same thing. I was pulling for Edmonton, and I was worried they were going to get a fluke goal or, you know, and they had a couple chances. They did. In overtime, they had a couple chances. But I wanted Edmonton to win because, again, I want the best team to move forward. And LA's, they've made a really nice, quick turnaround from the rebuild, you know, and they've done a really good job. Rob Blake and Luke Robitaille have done an excellent job there. Mm-hmm. And they've turned that team around, and they look like they're going to be really good in the future. They've got some really exciting young players, so.
It's unfortunate Toronto's not in. You know, the hockey in Canada in the playoffs is way more exciting when the Leafs are in. I don't know why, because everyone's talking about it. Even if you don't live in Toronto, Russ, even here in Vancouver and Calgary and, you know, Winnipeg, wherever you live, it's all about the Leafs, you know, and the Habs. And think of last year, you know, when the Habs had that run.
You know what I love about Toronto, Edmonton, Calgary? For the people who either can't afford a ticket or they can't get a ticket, they go down to the rink or the arena, and they're outside in those zones, you know, the fan zones or whatever. It just feels so good. Like I'm watching all the, like I kept replaying the overtime goal in Calgary, and they had the fans watching the game on the big screen outside, and when they scored, they just went nuts.
Yeah,
and
the Calgary thing
was
cool.
It's so good. And I was just in Denver. I drove up there with my son. He's going to live there for the summer with his girlfriend, and they have some bars that have this like fan zone, but it's more like, it's not like that. Right. And it looked really cool, but you're in a courtyard of a big building, and it's outside a bar. So, you know, in the US, like this thing is nonstop. You could go there every night and watch a game, and
cool.
These things were that Canada has going on. I just love it. I love it that those fans get to go and have that experience versus sitting at home and not being able to go to the game.
Yeah, there's a couple things too. I didn't go to any of the games here. I watched them all, but for sure, hands down, it's, you know, the Oilers haven't done this in I don't know, 5 or 6 years now, where they won a round. Everyone talks about the crowd and the noise level, but it was okay on steroids, man. The level of noise in Calgary and Edmonton. Toronto's got the whatever they call it, Jurassic Park, I think is what they call it, out in front of the building. Edmonton's got this ice district now, and the Flames had the sea of red, man. And I agree. It's like, it really is a galvanizing thing, Rusty, for the country, right? The playoffs and
hockey. For sure, we're going to have one Canadian team going forward, so that's good. So we've got two more rounds of at least watching the Canadian teams playing. And I know why you don't have tickets to the to Edmonton.
Why?
Because none of the guys from the 80s that you were a groupie of that played for the Oilers have children playing for the Oilers.
Grandchildren, man.
Yeah,
never mind children.
Jesus. Yeah. Kevin Lowe even involved anymore? He's still involved.
Yeah, he's involved. He's around.
Did he blow you off just like 99?
he blew me off. I went to James Taylor. I texted him. I said, "You must be here, right?" And he laughed at me and went, "Well, what are you, 100? I said, "No, it's James Taylor, man. You know, well, no one's talking to me anymore." Well, I told you I was doing a gig. You were going to come. You couldn't do it because of a conflict up in White Court. And the panel was like Steve McIntyre and Tim Hunter, we had Jamie McCown on. We had Theo on, right?
Yeah.
And one of the kids came up and I said, "Who are you?" You know, he's like, I'm Luke Gazdick. And I stopped and went, "I'm friends of your father's." Anyway, Rusty, let's talk about the one thing about the NHL.
How you've lost a girlfriend your best friend in the last month.
Stop, I've ruined everything. Yeah.
How's 2022 working out for you so far?
I'm going to call Michael Jordan. I got to apologize. I'm going to make a new friend. So, Rusty,
that'll go.
You start off the NHL season. Shut up. You start off the NHL season. If you lose 8 of your first 10, they go, okay, they got to make some change. They got to fire. If you're 15 out of 25, you got to make some change. You got to fire. If you don't make the playoffs, okay, you got to make some change. You got to fire the coach. If you lose the first round, okay, you got to make some players. You got to make some. It's just. No matter what, Russ, no matter what, you know, and everyone talks today after these series and after the first round. And what do the Leafs have to do? They played in an unbelievable series. I don't know, the Kings got to do. You just talked about how great they were. Is it this necessary evil, Russ, that someone's got to go at every stage of a fucking hockey season, no matter what?
I think. Well, you always get to evaluate after the season when, you know, where did we go? Where can we be stronger? What position, you know, like the owner of the Vegas Knights.
Right.
I read his article and he is not happy. Wasn't happy. Didn't like all the changes. They've gone through all those. They almost win a Stanley Cup and then there's only like 4 or 5 guys left. They got rid of this guy, and he's like pissed. And he came out and said, and they fired their coach. Right. And
today, I think they fired
him. Yeah, and he is not happy. So there, you're hearing it from the boss. Place like Toronto, the media has a lot. They're saying, like, you should do this, you should do that. Fans are saying, we don't know what Brendan Shanahan's thinking right now. He's going to decompress and he'll figure out what he's going to do, what decisions he's going to make. Because let's face it, he's running that hockey team.
Right.
And there's
good job, by the way.
He's done a freaking great job. But there are a lot of guys who played in the game that don't believe in this analytics crap. And he has an analytic guy there, and there was one guy in Phoenix, he got canned. And there's something about a locker room. It's not like a computer can go, oh, you need this guy there. You need personality, you need character, you need this, you need that. And the computer never tells you, it can never talk about or rate character. You can say this guy has the puck, or this, if we're talking about a girls' hockey team, they can, you know, you can analyze all you want with the numbers and time and all that, but there's a lot to be said about that locker room and the camaraderie and the individuals coming together as a group and doing things that they wouldn't normally do for one another. You know, there's when you have kids. Could you ever imagine what you, you know, before you had children, what you would, once you have children, what you would do if somebody ever hurt your child?
Oh my God.
Right? And so there's things about being in a group and being in a tight knit group, that you can't get from analytics. And I think this analytic stuff is going to be, looked at a little more closely by the old guard.
Right. We had,
I'll tell just one
carry thing. On
no, with no, Sutter. No, I would have lost a bet there. I thought, okay, the game's changed. He's too old. his message will be lost. The young guys don't listen. And look what he's done. He has proven that the old style is still, it still works, because he convinced all these individuals to come together and not worry so much about their individual statistics. And guess what? When you start thinking about playing for your teammates and playing for the, you know, the old saying for the name on the front of the jersey, not the back, they've all played better. I mean, all the guys who had good stats have now great stats. So anyways, that's a lot. I threw out a lot there, but I think Toronto, I think they're so close. I agree with Austin Matthews. They're super close. They're getting tired of, you know, everybody's tired. Those guys want to win more than the fans want to win. Right. And, you know, they're still young, but they hopefully they can keep it together. It's that salary cap is kind of the evil cloud over your head.
Right, of course.
When you have a good team and they get better and better and better, you're going to lose guys because they're worth more. They're worth more than you can pay, mm-hmm. and you've got to make trades. So,
I'll tell you what's really curious, Rusty. I watched the Calgary game like you did. That's a, you know, you talk about Daryl Sutter. There's no doubt in my mind, Johnny Gaudreau and you know would be the biggest gunner right there. But the story is Daryl Sutter. Okay, the Calgary Flames. I don't care what you think of the goalie or anything else. It's Daryl Sutter. Really curious, Russ, was when they won the game. Like I told you, they got to have a camera on this guy 24.
Yeah.
He kind of almost looked lost. He didn't know to go who shake hands first.
Yeah.
He walked on the ice. He was all by himself. Normally, Russ, when a guy wins a series and he comes off that bench, he's mauled by someone. Yeah. Players, assistants, something. He was alone walking around there before he got in the line. And if you go back and look at it, it's really interesting what you said, because I think he's probably got this more than arm's length distance between him and the players. Because when he went up to Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Gaudreau almost looked like he didn't give him the big bear hug. He didn't, you know, it was almost like Daryl had to pull Gaudreau in to whisper something to him. And Gaudreau just sort of nodded and fucking looked straight ahead and walked down the line, you know. So he's got something totally unique, right? Totally unique. But like you say, a bunch of players are going to wake up and go, I'm glad we listened to him.
Well, and I think when you win the first, like that, the players were obviously celebrating after they won the game in overtime. But then they, you know, after a certain amount of time, it's like, okay, one round.
Right.
So I could see Sutter being very reserved, like, okay, we won four games, no big deal. Like, we got lots of work left, but
right.
He's got Kirk Muller there to pick up on all the celebrations for the, because Kirky's probably a little hungover today.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for him, eh? God, good for, I forgot about that. Yeah. One of the great,
I saw him in line. I totally forgot he was there because our focus is on Sutter.
You bring up the analytics. We had Theo on. I think Theo and maybe Jamie McCown and even you said, I think it was Theo, you know, in his low talk like this. He goes, I'll tell you what, if I was a coach right now, I'd take those fucking iPads and shove them up where, you know, the sun doesn't shine, you know?
You're correct, but it was Chris Nyland.
Oh, Chris Nyland, right, sorry. Rusty, you know what? You bring up a great point about the analytics. You're not, you know, the old guys aren't into it. Lots of guys are. Some aren't. When you talk about this camaraderie and in the locker room and having beers with the boys or hitting a guy's house to watch the Super Bowl or whatever, all you got to do, folks, is watch the Toronto Blue Jays, okay? That dugout, okay, all they do, Russ, all day long during games is have a riot. It's sort of led by Vladdy Guerrero, this junior. And all they're doing, Russ, is they're dumping seeds on each other. They're having a laugh. There's a million screams. So it'll be interesting to see. The reason I bring that up, of course, the be all and end all of analytics is baseball, right? And these guys aren't looking at iPads too much when they get on the bench, you know. They're anyway. Watch a Blue Jay game and watch how much fun those guys have in the dugout. So.
Well, you can. I remember, you know, when I played in Toronto and we were the young guns, Wendell Clark, Steve Thomas,
right.
Todd Leave. Gill, Ali Frady, Gary Nyland, Kenny Reagan.
Wasn't he there?
Gary Lehman.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, Wendell Clark. Dan Hodgson was there in the early days. And
right.
We were so close, but we were such, you know, we were young kids, right? We weren't ready for big things. And we did some damage in the playoffs that no one expected us to do. And it was a lot of that, like sticking up for one another and really enjoying each other. And then when I got traded to Montreal, I couldn't believe it, how close this team was, like the entire team. Oh. From the youngest guy to the oldest guy. And that had to do with Larry Robinson and Bob Gainey, right, down to our youngest. I think Eric Desjardins was a 18-year-old rookie or 19-year-old rookie. Mm-hmm. They included all of us. And I remember going to the rink going, you know, not thinking, are we going to win tonight? It was like, what are we going to win by? We were that good, but we were so close on the road. So when you get picked up at the airport, usually if you charter on the East Coast, and when you fly commercial, you go through the airport like everybody else, but just on the East Coast, picked up in a bus, go to the hotel, meet in the lobby. We were allowed to have beers in the lobby bar. We'd meet down there, the entire team, beer or two, and then decide who was eating what, you know, who wants Italian, make a reservation,
where
steaks,
we gonna go,
sushi. And then we'd all disperse in groups and then we'd meet back there, have one beer and go to bed or, you know, hang out in a room. And we always had roommates because that changed in the last few years where you don't have a roommate, but we always had a roommate and we were just so close. And I carried that throughout my career, just how important that was. And my wife and I started hosting Thanksgiving dinners, and just offering as much as we could to bring the teams together as a group, both, you know, the players and the girlfriends and wives, and having fun together. In Dallas, I got traded there. I got traded to Minnesota, and then played 1 year in Minnesota. We don't make the playoffs. We moved to Dallas, add a few guys, but, you know, teams generally the same. Mm-hmm. We don't know one person outside of the team. Nobody knows anyone who lives in Dallas. Weird. So we were forced to stick together, hang together. We set a franchise record in points. The place was sold out every night. They freaking loved us. And we lost to, we swept St. Louis, lost in the second round of Vancouver, went on to lose to New York in the finals. Mm-hmm. But because we were so close, we won games we probably shouldn't have won because we just freaking love, you know, it's kind of, we loved each other. You know, when you have that respect and you care about somebody, you'll do so much more. And that's kind of the theme, I guess, of the show, is that the teams that are going to do the best are the ones that, yeah, they got to have talent, but they got to play together.
Right. And beyond digging deep, of course, you got to dig deep.
Well, look at McDavid. He changed his game.
What a game he had.
The last two games, everybody I've listened to said he carried that team on his back. He was playing, Rick Tocchet called it a 200-foot game. He played both ends. He was hitting guys. He actually looked like he was changing. I didn't check out his ice time at all. I'm sure he played more than anybody, but he didn't look like he was staying out there till the last second before he passed out, like during the season where I've said that he's been too selfish and stays out on the ice too long. But he totally changed his game and has bought into, you know what, I've got to be at my best, both offensively and defensively, and I've got to lead this team. And he looks like he's made those steps to become a leader.
He ran a guy in the first 15 seconds.
Yeah. Like replaying it. Unless you don't follow hockey. I mean, every analyst loves it. So it doesn't matter if you're what station you turn on, they're playing that hit.
Yeah. And both those games, the Flames game and the Oilers game was, you know, the game sevens were like crazy slaughters. And now those two teams are facing each other.
How about that, though, in hockey? Like 8 rounds in the NHL and 5 go to game 7s.
Yeah.
Like, crazy, man.
You just got to get in and you have a chance.
I thought when I woke up this morning, okay, I'm going, okay, what is this? You know, you go over and go, okay, who beat who now? Who's me? You know, I'm going, I felt like Colorado didn't even make the playoffs. It's been so long since they played, right? They've been off. I'm like, oh, yeah, Colorado comes back in, right? And they're the heavy favorite still.
In the West.
Russ, what we don't often hear, you know, we know everyone who lives in NHL cities in Canada. They love them, Vancouver, and Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto. The big centers, Chicago and New York, you know, Washington, the Kings. What I never hear anyone, Russ, talk too friendly about Minnesota. Mm. What is, you played there? What's that whole experience like?
Minnesota is a great city. They have a good fan base. When I played there, they weren't happy with professional hockey and the owner, and there was a lot going on. And then we moved, and they brought back hockey, and they've done exceptionally well there. The fan base is great, and I thought
did you like it there?
I was the I'll tell you my honest truth. Like playing, it was fine, but we were told when we got traded there, don't buy a house. We're leaving the city, so we rented a place near the rink. It wasn't great, and so the experience, we were out in the burbs, and it just wasn't the experience that now that I've gone back and gone and spent some time downtown. Mm-hmm. I have a greater appreciation for Minneapolis and Minnesota, but that year wasn't great. It was good for me hockey wise. I did well, and personally, I had a good year.
Uniform, the North Star.
But anyways, it wasn't great experience.
Was there any time in your career, Russ, that it was unfun? That when you look back, was it all fun all the time?
Or? No, it was more that it. I wouldn't say fun. It was just there were some difficult times. Difficult times in Toronto when at the end before I got traded. My last year in Montreal was difficult, and part of that was my problem. Dallas, it was a contract thing. They didn't want to pay me, and I had poopy pants. I'm like, oh my God, I've played so well and then not get paid. And when you don't get, it's not the greed of the money. It's that you want to get paid what you're worth, what you've done on the ice. You just want to be respected and okay, this is what you're worth and this is what you get paid. And it was a difficult time financially for the Dallas Stars at that time and the league and, things were going on and I wasn't going to get signed for the, what I had done the last couple of years. So it was between me, myself and the team. It was oil and water. And then, I went to Vancouver. I loved it. And, again, towards the end, not playing as much as I was, that I wanted to, got a couple of injuries, get traded, went to New York, didn't sign with them, went to LA, and you know, I didn't retire when I wanted to retire. I wanted to keep playing, but for sure over the course of 16 years, there was some difficult times. Some I brought on my own and some were from the team, but you know, I loved my time in the NHL, but every player, look at Wayne Gretzky, had a difficult time when he hurt his back, and St. Louis, it didn't go the way they wanted or he wanted, anybody wanted. I mean, he left St. Louis. So
right.
Every player, I think, I don't think anyone has a perfect career and says, oh my God, every moment of my X amount of years was fun, was great. I have no complaints. I don't think anyone can say that because, you know, it'd be like saying you're in a perfect relationship with somebody and never had an argument. I mean, come on.
And I can't even get 10 minutes into a relationship.
Well, you can get into a relationship. You just got to learn how to stay in one.
I'm a strong
stalker.
Opener. There's no doubt. Oh, yeah.
Well, oh my God.
Good stuff, yeah. Rusty. Yeah, good stuff. Good show. Second round underway. Okay. You can listen to all our shows. Go to the website, Suspendables at thatsuspendables.com. There we go. That's the website, thatsuspendables.com. And check out all the shows. Rusty, is your golf course open?
Yes.
Yeah. It must be hot there now, man, isn't it?
It was like, warm over the weekend, but it's not too bad today. I'm playing tomorrow with a bunch of guys, so should be fun. 9:30 tee off time.
President's time. Round two, Rusty picks Florida, Colorado, Flames, and the Rangers. And I pick Florida, Colorado, Oilers, Rangers.
Oh, good. So, you went with the Rangers, too.
Yeah, I did. I did go with the Rangers. So
it's going to be a tough series for the Rangers because Carolina is good, man.
And I think Rod Brindamore is like one of the coolest coaches I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's a hound like I am, Notre Dame hound. And I really like him.
Is he your age, Russ?
He's younger by 3 or 4 years.
Oh, okay.
But he played with Curtis Joseph at Notre Dame, and they were the youngest team to ever win the Tier 2 tournament in Canada. Wow. Whatever that – Allen – no. What's that cup in –
The Allen Cup is amateur, right?
No, that's senior.
Senior hockey, right?
Yeah. So whatever the...
Stevie might know. Hang on one sec.
Not tier one. It's tier two.
RBC Cup?
Yeah, it wasn't called the RBC, but it's tier two hockey, right? It's the like...
Junior B.
No. It's tier two. So it's like the kids that are trying to go to college.
Okay. So Rod Brindamore, Curtis Joseph.
Yeah, they won it. They were the youngest team in Canada to ever win that... tournament, and they played for Notre Dame.
Centennial Cup?
Saskatchewan. Centennial Cup. There you go.
There we go, yeah. And he's really cool, and they often show Brindamore pumping up the boys in the locker room before the game.
Oh, yeah. He's great,
He's really good, yeah.
And they said he's a fitness nut, right? So their team, as soon as he took over, their fitness level went through the roof because a couple of players said, you can't lose the fitness test to your coach. Yeah.
But you can, yeah.
Well, because he's in there pounding away with these guys. They're like, if he can work that hard at his age, we've got to do the same.
Yeah, cool. Thanks a lot, Rusty. Thanks, Stevie. By the way, Stevie and I do a podcast every morning, Steve Warren Project. Tune in. We'll be talking all about the playoffs. And we'll be talking about you, Russ, okay? We're going to be talking about you tomorrow. And I'm going to go join a dating site. No, I'm not.
Oh, God.
Stop it. No, you've said enough.
Join a how-to-date site, not get-a-date.
We'll see you later, everybody. Tune in next week for much, much more on the Suspendables. Off you go, Rusty.
I think you should do the Uber job.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the Suspendables. If you're enjoying the show, we invite you to subscribe so you never miss a single episode. Leave a positive review and share the show with your followers. And check out our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.